United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Good afternoon. My name is Nelson Strobert, and welcome to the Seminary Explores. Today, my guest is Mr. Justine Odila, who is from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Welcome to the Seminary Explorers.
Thank you.
To begin with, I'd like to ask you, what brought you, I announced that you're from the Congo, but what brought you to the United States?
Yeah, thank you so much. I came to the United States through the United States Refugee Resettlement Program.
Okay.
I was kind of resettlement. So I was a refugee in Zambia, and then I did my vetting process in Zambia, and then finally the U.S. government gave me that opportunity to be resettled in the United States. That's why I'm here in the United States.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And how long have you been in the United States?
Yeah, so far it is kind of 1 year.
Yes.
That I got here. I'm here in the United States. I arrived here, it was last year, January 1st, that I arrived in 2017, that I arrived in the United States.
Okay, so you are a recent arrival. It will be a year.
Yeah, kind of.
Right, just a little over a year.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask you, you come from the Congo. What did you do while you were in the Congo?
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. You know, I was working for a human rights organization.
Okay.
I was kind of dealing with the issue of the child soldiers. The child soldiers.
Okay, well, I think you need to, for our listening audience, what do you mean by child soldiers?
Yeah, you know, the child soldiers, those are the kids that they were just get by force by the government. It's one way that the government, kind of the tools of the government to use the child, kind of showing them how to shoot a gun and then sending them in the front line, you know. So a lot of kids, they were taken by the soldiers so that they can join the military services unwillingly. So those kids, some of them, they were 18, 10, you know, all those kind of
years old.
So my job was kind of working on the prevention of the issue of the child soldiers and working on the demobilization of the child soldiers, because this is common. Like in Congo, and in the rebel side and the government side, they were using the kids, you know.
On both sides?
Yeah, both sides to join the military services. So, you know, kids, when they get them, train them how to shoot a gun, then just send them on the front line so they can kill anyhow, you know, all kind of stuff. So I was working on that, working on the prevention of the child soldiers.
Yeah, what did you do in terms of prevention? How did you get these young people who were already soldiers, how did you get them away from the group?
Yeah, that is a very good question. When I say working on the preventions, you know, because some kids are willing to join the army by themselves.
Yes.
So what we are doing is to go to the schools levels, church levels, having a conference, talking to the kids, letting them to know the importance of education, not joining military services, all kind of stuff. Like I was from capital city, from the capital city, which is Kinshasa, the capital city of the Democratic Republic of Congo. But in eastern part of Congo, there's where the war is still going on right now. So where there's a lot of kids who are taken. But in the capital city, we are most working on the prevention of the child soldiers, which was very important to help parents, to have the children to understand what is very important to them, to life, you know, not joining military services.
So you had to work with the children, but you also had to work with their parents?
Yes, of course, if parents, you have to work for parents. We're also working for parents because that was very important to teach the parent. So the parent, they can also help the kids, you know, trying to help them to go to school, all this kind of stuff, preventing them to not join the military services. So that's what I'm saying. We are working on the prevention of the child soldiers. And we got non-profit organization.
Yes.
Who are dealing when the child soldiers, you know, maybe they flew from the military services, so they were taking them. So we are trying also to help them to recover a little bit their memories, to come in a normal sense, you know, see what I mean? Because a lot of them, they are the flashbacks.
Well, they would have seen a lot of deaths.
Yeah, a lot of deaths, yes. A lot of bad scenes.
A lot of blood.
Yeah, a lot of blood, you know. You know, some they could not sleep at the night. You know?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of work, a lot of people needed to help them to how do I say, to come back to normalcy.
To normalcy, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you mentioned that there's a lot of conflict. What is the conflict that is going
very,
on?
Yeah, very, very good question. You know, conflict in Congo, it is ongoing conflict. You know, a lot of people were killed. Our first war, which is happening, 1997, almost 5 million up to now, the two wars that's happened in Congo.
Yes.
Almost 5 million people died, is what I mean. And the conflict is all about political leadership. There's no good governance, you know. And then the president doesn't want to relinquish power. So they want to just be there forever.
Right.
So there's no free and fair elections. So they don't want to go to elections. So it's kind of, dictatorship. So
dictatorship.
Yeah, dictatorship. So being there forever. So those are the kind of conflict that is happening in Congo. And if you look at the eastern part of Congo, where there's a lot of minerals, you know, gold, diamond, copper. So that area is really volatile. The conflict is still going on. So it's unceasing conflict. So I don't know, because the international community, they are trying their best, but nothing's could work.
So you mentioned the conflict, but for our listening audience, just where is the Congo?
The Congo, it is in central Africa. You know, when you see the map of Congo, it's in the center, in the middle.
In the middle of Africa.
Yeah, in the middle of Africa. But in the wrong side, in the other side, we got like Zambia, we got Rwanda, Burundi. You know, Congo is surrounded by almost 9 countries.
Okay.
Zambia, Burundi, Uganda, Congo Brazzaville. But we are in the central, in the middle.
In the middle.
Yeah, that's why they say the Congo is the hub of Africa.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, because it's in the middle.
It's right in the middle.
Yeah, right in the middle. Yeah.
In the center.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. As you were saying, you were helping with the child soldiers, but that also meant that your work, that was dangerous work. So your life must have been in danger.
Yeah, that's right. You know, where there's no freedom of speech, freedom of expression, whatever, if somebody wanna speak, so automatically your life is gonna be in danger. So our job was kind of a dangerous job, because when you speak against the government, you know, the issue of the child soldiers is the government who was doing that. When you speak against the government, automatically you put your life in danger, kind of jeopardizing your life.
Yes.
So that job, it's really risking. So my life was in danger. And one time I was arrested because of that work, the work that I was doing, you know. I was arrested.
So they were watching you. In some ways, they were watching
course,
what you were doing.
Of course, they were watching what I was doing. So after being arrested, you know, I had no choice. When I escaped, I had to flee the country, because otherwise I would have been killed in the country.
Okay, and when you fled the country, where did you go?
Yeah, when I fled the country, I had no choice to kind of lost my identities, my nationalities.
Right.
Yeah, I became now a refugee in Zambia.
But how did you get to Zambia from the Congo? How did you do that?
Thank you. So that's a very good question. So how I get there is that I had to flee when I escaped from the jail, when I was arrested. So I have to fled from the capital city to the province, which is Lubumbashi.
Yes.
And then from Lubumbashi, I got a truck. you know.
I got a truck.
I was eating the truck, and then I entered illegally into Zambia. So when I reached Zambia, I had to go to the Red Cross, because I told you also I was working for the Red Cross. When I was in court, I was working two organizations, the Red Cross and the Human Rights Organization.
You were working for the Red Cross in the Congo.
In the Congo.
As well as the Human Rights.
Yeah, Human Rights.
So you were able to go to the Red Cross
In Zambia. So when I went there, the Red Cross say, you guys, you are welcome in Zambia, but we got no choice. We have to bring you to the United Nations. The Refugees Agency.
Okay.
So I went to a refugee agency.
That was sponsored by the United Nations?
Yeah, it is part of the United Nations, you know, body.
Okay.
So they work for the UN, the UN Refugee Agency.
Mm-hmm.
So I went for the interviews, you know, so because they had to know who, right. Yes, so I did all interviews, eligibility interviews with the Zambian government and the United Nations. So from there, I was granted, you know, refugee status to stay in Zambia for...
How long did you stay in Zambia?
Yeah, I stayed in the camp for 17 years that I stayed in the camp as a refugees.
You were in the camp?
Yeah, in
for
the camp.
17 years?
Yes, life was very hard, no power, no electricity, no good water. I found a lot of women who were raped in the camp. I found an company children. I found, you know, life was too miserable.
So there's a lot of abuse in the camp.
Yes.
And life is not pleasant.
Yeah, life is not pleasant, really, indeed. Okay. Yeah.
And how was it that you were able to leave Zambia?
Yes, to leave Zambia. Yeah, you know what? To leave Zambia is not easy, as you, if you are refugees. I have to apply for resettlement. Resettlement, it is part of the United Nations program.
Okay.
So, but I have to go through interviews, different interviews, a lot of vetting process. So I was interviewed by the USA, the United Nations, the UNHCR. That was the first interviews.
The first interviews were done by the UN.
By the UN.
Right.
And then my case was sent to the US government. So after that, I had to wait for the US government to come down to Zambia. So I was interviewed in Zambia because the US government work with a lot of organization.
Yeah, a lot of, yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Yeah. So I had to go through a vetting process with one of the USA government agency. It's called a refugee center. So they are there to do a pre-screening. Mm-hmm. So I had to go biometric data, interview, all kind of stuff.
What when you said the vetting process?
Yes.
You know, there were interviews.
Yeah, there's interviews. There's a lot. You wanna know about yourself, about your life, where you're coming from.
Oh, okay.
About your family, biometric data. You know, all those kind of stuff.
Right.
So I did all those with the refugee center, which is part of the USA government agency.
Yes.
So after that, I had to wait for the immigration to come to finalize now, kind of the final interviews with the official immigration from the United States. So I did it, and then I was really accepted to come to United States, but I had to go through again another vetting. So
right.
My case was sent to the IOM, which is the International Organization of Migration.
The International?
IOM, International Organization of Migrations.
Okay.
So they are there, all refugees wanna move. So it's the IOM who's gonna take them and then move them into different countries.
Okay. So how long was this vetting process?
It took almost, for me, I applied 2012, almost 5 years
for me
to get here in the United States, 5 years for vetting process.
Okay, and how is it that you came to the United States?
Come again?
How is it that you came to the United States and not another country?
Yeah, that is a very good question. You know, after the interviews the UN, United Nations.
Yes.
So the UN is gonna seek for a country for you.
Okay.
You see what I mean? they are kind of pleading, asking countries, can you get this case? Can you just get this case? And my case was accepted by USA government. I would have even go to, Norway, Australia, whatever.
So there are
many countries,
places,
yeah,
right.
Number of places. But my case, it was kind of was accepted by USA government based on the USC criterias. So I was, accepted. But when I was doing my interviews, they asking me a question if I know somebody in the United States,
Mm-hmm.
So I say, okay, I got a friend in the U.S. I know him. I know her. Her name was Mary Fallon. And then they asking me, do you willing sort of to be in touch with Mary Fallon so that they can send me,
Right.
Where are Mary? She is. I said, no problem. So they were in touch with Mary Fallon. My resettlement sponsored, which it was Catholic Charity.
Catholic Charities.
Yes.
Was the sponsoring.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So they had to be in touch with Mary, asking Mary if he's willing to accept me, maybe to come in this state.
Yes.
And then Mary said yes. That's why my case was, sent to Pennsylvania.
So you went to Pennsylvania,
yeah,
because she was in working and living in Pennsylvania.
Yes. Yes.
And agreed that she would sponsor you.
Yeah.
So that is really good.
Yeah.
Really good. And so what have you been doing since you have come to the United States?
Since I've come to the United States, I thank God. I'm working with one of the program. I'm doing part-time job, which is Incredible Years. It is part of mental health program.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing to help the issue of mental health, especially the kids who are misbehaving, all kind of stuff, and the parent. So helping them out, helping the parent to understand how to deal with the kids, and then helping the kids to work on their mental, health programs.
Right. So in a sense, you're continuing the work that you were doing in the Congo.
Yeah, obviously.
The situation is different.
Yes.
But in terms of troubled youth.
Yes.
Young people with problems.
Yeah, there's kind of connection.
There's a connection.
Yeah,
yes.
There's connection. That's what I'm doing. And then at the same time, I'm having some classes at HAC. That would be in human services. I'm doing human services.
Oh,
but
great.
I'm going to focus on mental health program because I think it is also a problem here in the United States. So I want to really finish my degree to get a degree on mental health. And then since I'm also working part-time on that, so after that, I'll help more and more in the United States.
Yeah. I would say that you're very busy.
Yeah, I'm very busy. And then at the same time, I'm also working at Walmart, as one way to get money to pay my rent, to survive, what kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So I'm doing a full-time job there. I'm doing part-time job with mental health, at the mental health clinics. I'm also going to school. So
right. So the life of the immigrant is not an easy life.
No, it's not easy, because there's an issue of the culture.
Yes.
Which is you need to reshape. When you come from different countries, the first thing that we face, it is a culture shock,
Culture shock,
yeah,
yes.
So this is why...
Could you say something about the culture shock?
Oh, my gosh. Culture shock, it is difficult, for all immigrants when
yes.
you come from different countries. We got different perspectives, different view, different understanding of things, different laws,
right.
Different culture, different way of speaking, all this kind of stuff. But here, you need to adapt to a new styles, a new culture.
Right.
So, which is gonna take time for others, but for some people, it can take time maybe 1 year, 2 years. You're already in the system,
right?
So different thinking, like for some of us who are coming from conflict area,
I would think it is a real adjustment because we have conflicts in the United States, but we talk about them. We read about them.
Yeah.
We debate, we hear about the Congress or the state legislature.
Yeah.
Um, and people talk very openly
about
the subject. And that I would think that's a very different way of living.
Yeah, that is a very different way. But like in Africa, open conflict is what I mean when you see people are killing people, you know, using the gun, the war, you know, all this kind of stuff. So people use the culture of killing, you know.
The culture of killing.
Yes, I mean, when the leadership is bad, so one way is, you know, to go one side. They teach you how to shoot a gun, all those kind of stuff, and then try to kick out the one who's in power. So that's what's happening in Africa.
Right.
So rebels are kind of prevailing in Africa. Right. But so, which is different culture
yes,
in the United
very,
States.
Yes, very, very
so
much
you so. Got a lot of people debating at the Senate, you know.
Yes.
But they are, we have to go through war.
Yeah. To experience that. As an immigrant, what are your hopes and dreams for yourself?
Oh, my gosh. That is a very good question. The dream that I have... First, this country is a free. There's a really freedom in the United States. One thing that I've noticed since I came to
America,
you got a freedom.
Yes.
Sometimes you won't notice that you have a freedom here.
Right.
Compared to our country, some of us who are coming from Africa.
Right.
There's no freedom of speech. There's no freedom of movement. There's no freedom of whatever. But since I come to the United States, you know, there's a freedom. What I mean, if there's a freedom, somebody's going to be able to achieve his goal, his visions,
yes.
You know, ultimate vision. That would be easy for you to achieve that. So my vision, since I've come to a country which is free, there's a
yes.
kind of freedom. As I said, I want to pursue first my degree.
Yes.
To get my degree. And then I really want to contribute to a mental health area in the United States,
yeah.
Which I've noticed that there's much work that have to be done. But there's a lot of people in the United States are going through anxiety, are going through, you know, mental health issues, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Yes.
So that is my vision.
I
really want to contribute. Yes, I really want
to
contribute to that area. You know, after getting my degrees. So that would be my portions, you know,
right.
Which I want to take as part of contribution into the United States.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing your story. It's very powerful, and you've certainly given us a lot to think about.
Yeah.
And also, as for us Americans, as we look at the issues of immigration in our United States and to see that immigrants are here to contribute to our life of freedom.
Yeah, freedom, yeah.
Thank you so much. My guest today has been Mr. Justin Odila from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, who is in the United States in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. For the Seminary Explorers, this is Nelson Strobert. Have a good day.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explorers, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.